TBRI.
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 TOVD.
TBRI.
TBRI, Trust-Based Relational Intervention.
TBRI is an attachment-based
trauma-informed intervention
that is designed to meet the complex needs
of vulnerable children.
TBRI uses empowering principles
to address physical needs,
connecting principles for attachment needs,
and correcting principles to disarm fear-based behaviors.
While TBRI is based on years of attachment, sensory processing, and neuroscience research,
the heartbeat of TBRI is connection.
Hello, and welcome to the TBRI podcast. On this show, we talk all about trust-based relational intervention, or TBRI. We talk about different elements of the model itself, and also about how TBRI is applied in various systems of care and practice. I'm Emily Pickett, producer of the podcast, and I am so excited to introduce this week's conversation. Today, we are talking all about TBRI camps. Our colleague, Dr. Casey Call, is the Assistant Director of Education here at the Karen Purvis Institute of Child Development, and she has seen the evolution of our therapeutic camps over many years. Dr. Call leads our undergraduate and master's programs and also oversees Hope Connection 2.0, which is a reimagined therapeutic camp that is based on TBRI principles. If you are a professional who is considering running a therapeutic camp, or if you're just interested in what all goes into designing a TBRI camp, this episode is for you. The show notes have all of the links to the resources mentioned in this episode, so please be sure to check those out for more information about TBRI camps. As always, thank you so much for listening, and please enjoy this conversation with Dr. Casey Call.
Welcome to the pod. Would you take just a second and introduce yourself to our listeners? If they've been around a long time, I know that our practitioners will know you, but more recently, you have really shifted focus. So would you kind of tell everybody who you are and what you do?
I am Casey Call. I have been at the Institute since 2007. I actually came to the Institute because I went to observe a camp. I was headed to a school psychology PhD program in August, and I think this was June or July, and I got my TCU alumni magazine in the mail, and I read about what the Institute was doing, and my jaw dropped, and I was like, I have to go there for my PhD. I want to do what they're doing. I want to do the Hope Connection Camp. This is where I need to be, and I called Dr. Cross, and he said, well, we're in the middle of a camp right now. Do you want to come observe tomorrow? And I said, yes. And I came to camp and I sat in the background and I watched Dr. Purvis and I had tears streaming down my face the entire time because I thought, this is how children are supposed to be treated. This is it. And so I did my PhD program and then I got hired in 2012 and I've had many roles. I've been a research scientist. I did a lot of training, but currently I run our education programs, which include our Hope Connection 2.0 camp.
My goodness, I can't imagine calling up the Institute, reaching Dr. Cross, and him saying, coming out tomorrow to our camp. Like, we're in such a different space now, but it's so fun to hear about those early stories when that was possible. Because, of course, if we could still do that now, we would love to. It's just hard to do. So,
yes.
What a fun...
Times have changed.
Times have changed a lot, but what a fun origin story. Okay, so Casey, was that the first camp that you dropped into? Or do you remember?
No, it was not the first camp. The first camp was in the late 90s. So, but this was the one that most of our video is from, the 2007 camp.
Okay. Okay.
So well, I got a chance to see all of those kids that were in that video and kind of get a sense of who they were and how the program ran.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. So when you walked in, did you get a sense of what the purpose was for camp? Because I love that you said, this is how all kids should be treated. And we know that part of our focus and our primary focus for sure has been on, you know, kids who've experienced trauma, but just the idea that all kids should be treated this way. But back at that point, what was the point? Why did they start it to begin with?
Well, this was before TBRI even had a name. This was, you know, the Connected Child had come out, but the intervention hadn't been, you know, formalized into a name and principles and all of that. And I was really coming in, you know, without knowing anything about trauma, adoption, foster care, the child welfare system. I had been an elementary school teacher and also a middle school and high school counselor. So, and I had a, you know, a master's in counseling and I was an LPC, but I had never really learned about trauma. I had never really learned about attachment theory. I always tell my students, it may have been like one paragraph in a book that I read, you know, on theories, but it didn't stick, you know, it wasn't presented that way. So when I went there, I didn't really understand why things were happening. I could just see that it just felt so respectful to the kids. And it felt, it brings tears to my eyes because I just think about I can feel that feeling still in my chest about sitting there and thinking, this is so respectful. Kids are being treated kindly and respectfully. They're being offered choices. They're being allowed power. They are, you know, having high expectations, being asked to be, you know, respectful and kind and part of the community, but they were, you know, it was all done in a loving, nurturing way. I mean, when I think back now, it was that balance of high nurture, high structure,
right,
is what
right.
I was seeing, but I didn't have words for any of it.
Right. Right. And so we took a break from camps for a little bit. And I think that's about the time that we started developing the training program, which has, you know, evolved over the years too. And for more details on all of this history of the Institute, we have a original podcast, or our first podcast is with Dr. David Cross, and he talks about our history of the Institute. But can you talk about, we brought back 2.0, Hope Connection 2.0. And what was why did we do that? And then can you talk some about how do we get to the place where we are doing this well? Like you talked about kids feeling safe and how they were treated and that they were given choices and all these things, but there's a lot that goes into that. And so can you talk about some of that transition from Hope Connection, you know, which we took a break on, to Hope Connection 2.0. And then maybe as we continue to chat, we can talk about what are some of those really detailed things that people need to be prepared for, because it's not an easy undertaking.
Yes, that's a big question, but I will do my best.
We'll break it down.
Okay, excellent. The first thing that comes to mind is thinking about why we got away from Hope Connection Camp. And we were such a small group of people trying to do enormous things. I mean, similar to now, but even smaller. And we did not have the capacity to build up our training programs, build up our intervention, and host the summer camp. Mm-hmm. And our focus shifted from really helping a small group of families to training the professionals that served those families, to training the organizations that served those families, to training the systems of care, you know, that served the families. So you know that part well. So I think that's the reason we kind of got away from holding camps, is just the capacity, you know, and our focus shifted.
Right, right, for sure.
When I teach classes, I always show a lot of the camp videos during, you know, in class, because I want students to get a sense of who Dr. Purvis was and how she was and how TBRI came to be. And so in 2017, I believe, I had a couple of students who said, "This camp looks amazing. Why don't we have it anymore? Can we bring it back?" And it was two students who I trusted significantly, who had proven themselves to be responsible and dependable and, you know, motivated. And I was like, "Yeah, let's do it. Let's bring it back."
That's
and
so cool.
One of them, it's dreamy. They were amazing, and they took what we had, you know, the idea of the Hope Connection Camp, and one of them took it on as her honors project, and really worked on, you know, figuring out what do we do and how do we do it? And, you know, how do we write this down so other people can do it and replicate it? So in 2018, we brought back the Hope Connection Camp and named it Hope Connection 2.0. And the focus of this camp was really about meeting the needs of all the members of the family, which had been done a couple of times in the past with Dr. Purvis and Dr. Cross. They had hosted some family camp weekends. It just wasn't the norm. And so right. when our focus in 2018 was really on how do we meet the needs of all the family? How do we meet the needs of the parents in a really, you know, sustainable way? And then also how do we meet the needs of the children who have been adopted, as well as the children, the biological children who've had, you know, a shift in their family. So that kind of became our focus. And then we also wanted to be able to include students and have it as a training ground for TBRI so they could bring what they were learning in class into, you know, out of the classroom and into being able to apply it.
Oh, that's so cool. Man, I just love how these things play out because you would never expect that we got 2.0 because of a student's desire. And then the second thing I love, and for people that are out there like hustling and working so hard, the idea of it coming back through the students means it had to be documented, which is one of the things when we're flying so fast that we miss is the documentation of how the heck we got here and what did we do to get here. And so I love that, like, coming through the students, it almost forced that process. So let's talk a little bit about, because I want to make sure we get some how-tos in there. What are the, so first of all, do we have any kind of training program for camps or package that people can look at if they're like, I want to go do a TBRI camp, where do I even start? Do we have any kind of resources for that?
We do have a few training options. We have some free resources available on our website that talk about hosting a therapeutic camp. We also have a online camp course that's available for our TBRI practitioners.
And that's on, that's can be found on our website too, right?
Yes.
Okay. So cool. So let's break it down a little bit. When, if I'm sitting here thinking about doing a TBRI summer camp, what are just the human resources I need to start with? Who are the people? What are the roles that have to be played in order to pull off a camp? And I know, like, I get it, like, some of that's going to vary if you have a day camp or an overnight camp and stuff, but let's just talk about day camp for simplicity's purpose. And who do I need to be there?
Well, I would back up just a little bit and say one of the most important things is figuring out what are your goals for camp. I have found from working with, you know, practitioners that everybody who hosts a camp has a little bit different goal. You know, the camps in the beginning when Dr. Purvis hosted them were to provide respite for some families who were really burned out. And then they happened upon having this really successful model, you know, of helping the children heal. And now our goal is family connection. Our goal is to teach parents new skills. So we host a camp on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then families go home and try out the intervention for a month. And then they come back for another Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because we really want to be able to help the parents problem solve. Like, okay, so you've got this information, you've gone home to try it. What wasn't working, what was working well, and come back. So you've got to think about, you know, what are your goals for camp? Is it to have fun, to give kids that don't get to go to, you know, have some typical experiences to go to camp and have a blast and meet other people? Because that's going to be a different camp than a therapeutic camp. So I would say the first thing we got to do is figure out what our goals are. And then, you know, our goal is the therapeutic camp. We want to help healing. We want to help with sustainability on, you know, have the parents be able to take this home and actually implement it. We have a lot of different roles. Do you want me to?
I mean, a general thing. Like, so let's talk about so you have to have somebody in charge. We know that. That's the director,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
What about the students? What role do they play?
So we have four, I would say four kind of leaders. One is our logistics leader. And then we have a camp director. Yes. And then we have a buddy leader and a parent leader or a caregiver leader.
Okay.
And so those are kind of our big pieces.
And I think that's brilliant, because if you're the one that is with the kids and you have no idea how the snack showed up, that fell under the logistics person, right? And so
exactly,
you need those snacks to be ready and on time and easy for the kids to grab and go. And so I think talk a little bit about some of the things that logistics person does.
They make sure that the materials for each group throughout the day are in the room and ready. They make sure that the snacks are ready, that lunch is ready, you know, when it says it's going to be, that we have, you know, if a child, pulls out of a group and they're looking for something to do, maybe just to connect with their buddy, that we have, you know, some extra activities, things for all different age groups. If we have little bitties, that they make sure that, you know, we've got somebody with the little bitties and that they've got what they need, you know, that they've got the sippy cups and the age appropriate toys and things like that. So they're just really in charge of meeting the needs of the group, so we don't have to think about that.
And I love that, because if you think about the layers, and, you know, I think most people that understand TBRI understand we're looking to meet needs. And so if we look kind of start at the top and we look down the line, you know, or I don't know if there's a top or bottom, but I always think of the person closest to the kids at the top, right? That buddy needs somebody to be meeting their needs. And then it goes down the line, and that logistics person is sort of removing the stress from everybody that's touching the kids and families, you know, constantly throughout the day. And so there's so many, that's a really a vital role. Okay. What were the other roles you told me? Sorry.
We have a camp director who kind of oversees everything. And then we have a buddy leader. So they're in charge of meeting the needs of the buddies, making sure that they have what they need, giving them additional support. And then we have the caregiver leader who's in charge of meeting the needs of the caregivers, making sure that their training is what they need, making sure that they have snacks and opportunities for connection, and that they feel safe as well.
Awesome. Okay. So then falling under those people, talk about the role of the buddy just a little bit.
So we have, I would say kind of the next level would be our buddies and our family coaches. Our buddies are typically TCU students, undergraduate or graduate students who have been trained in TBRI, and they are the one-to-one therapeutic staff for the child. And so they are the one that is meeting the need, the needs of the individual child constantly, consistently throughout each day.
These are the people that I see as being most exhausted when it's all over, because they've probably spent a lot of time emotionally and physically invested in this process.
Yes. We try to really meet their needs and find out, what do you like to snack on? What is a good breakfast to you? What kind of coffee? I mean, we bring coffee to them and bagels in the morning, and then make sure that we have chocolate for them when they take a break. And we make sure that we give them a couple of breaks throughout the day. So
that's awesome. I love that. If I, if I'm hosting a camp where I can't get these amazing students that have taken TBRI over a semester or two, maybe, what would you recommend for training for our volunteers?
Yeah, I would say the TBRI caregiver package would be a good place to start.
Okay.
I think that, you know, at the very least, the intro and overview, but I don't know if that would be enough for the position of the buddy, because the buddy is really responsible for addressing every behavior and meeting every need. And it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have to really act quickly. And so I think about, like, this TBRI has to just kind of be the way that they know how to interact, the way they know how to behave.
Yeah, that makes sense. So at least at a minimum, the caregiver package for everyone. And then for those buddies, you probably want, I mean, the intro and overview for everyone. And then you probably want the deep dive and even maybe a little bit of experience. Because as we know, learning and doing are two different things. And so this is, I mean, truly, if there is a way to increase your bandwidth for TBRI and your ability to implement, being a buddy at camp will do that really, really quickly. If I were hiring in the workforce for someone who was going to do direct care and I knew they had been a camp buddy, I'd be like, I want you, like, because you know what it feels like to do this.
We do a lot of role playing during our training.
Okay.
So they can actually get some words and that muscle memory of this is what I need to do. This is what I need to say.
I got it. Do you have to have a big budget for camps? And I know you said there's a few other roles, but I think they're, you know, parent trainers and more logistics people. But for the sake of time, what kind of budget, you know, am I looking at?
We have held camp on a pretty, you know, significant budget where we've had food catered and it's been really nice. But we've also done a camp on a pretty slim budget where we make sandwiches for lunches and just buy, you know, go to Costco and buy big bags of chips. I would say the food expense is really where you can make or break the bank. And then also facility wise, we host our camp at TCU, so we don't have that additional cost. So I would say food and facilities are going to be probably your biggest cost. So if you can find a way to do those things, you know, inexpensively, really you can run camp with mostly just people power.
Yeah. I mean, that's so important. But, you know, I think sometimes on our videos, we see like the whole crash and bump room set up. But then we see people do this so creatively with having none of that, you know, material. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember if it's you or Emily that tells a story of like, in one of those videos, that was actually a mattress off of Dr. Purvis's guest bedroom bed or something, you know, so like really like kind of looking around at what your resources are and how can we still meet that need? And with a shoestring budget, because unfortunately what we know is most of us are operating on a shoestring budget and that can be really, really hard along the way. Casey, what kind of barriers would you say people need to anticipate and that they're going to run into, or roadblocks or speed bumps or that kind of stuff? Do you have anything you'd encourage them to just be aware of?
For buddies, that has been like figuring out where do they need the most support and the most help. I can think of a couple of things. One is really stressing that playful behavior and playful engagement, because they typically want to jump right to structured engagement and give choices and, you know, compromises and all this. And so really figuring out a way to support them in being playful and modeling that has been really helpful. And stressing the intensity of camp. I think that people are very surprised by the intensity of camp, because our goal is to respond to every single behavior. That's why we have a one-to-one ratio, right? That's why camp is therapeutic. That's why it's effective, is because we want to respond to every, so it's very intense. And I think that that is a surprise to people, because they are like looking at it as, you know, as, I don't know, maybe more like a counseling session where you, sometimes you just let things go or you distract them or something. And in camp, our goal and our intention is to respond to every behavior and to respond to every nonverbal behavior, you know? And so that is intense and you have to be on all day and it's exhausting. So I would say preparing people for that aspect of it is really important.
That's a really, really good one, because I think that when I think about camp, I think about fun. That is what I think about. We're going to go and we're going to do, and we're going to have all these fun, and we're going to meet these really cool kids, and we're going to have a great impact on the family. Like that's our, I mean, right. That's our goal, is to have that impact. But there is a massive workload from beginning to end that goes with that. And it doesn't start the Friday when the families get here, and the result of that exhaustion lasts way beyond the Sunday, right? And probably for the families too, but I think that's a great thing to be aware of and to prepare our people for, because even if you're the one doing food prep, that comes with complexities, so that everybody realizes that this is not quite as simple as, you know, hosting a day of fun or a couple of days of fun. It really is an intense process, if that's your goal.
Right. Right. Yeah. Another thing that jumps to mind that can be a little bit challenging is families who are a little bit resistant. So the caregivers that are a little bit resistant, they think, oh, I've been doing TBRI, you know, for a year and I know what I'm doing. And really they're using some of the language or some of the, you know, some of the skills, but they're not doing it in its entirety. They're, you know, maybe they have really high structure, but they don't have any nurture, balancing that out. And so trying to help parents see where their strengths lie and what they are doing well already is really important, as well as where are some areas of, you know, opportunities for growth. And I think this is where our family coaches can come in, because our family coaches will lead nurture groups with just the family, and they can help, you know, bring in the sibling who is being left out, who's quiet all the time, and talk to the parents and coach them in real time on, you know, giving nurturing care through Band-Aids or through feeding or, you know, having fun. And they kind of see those family dynamics and can help and coach in the moment.
Man, it's tricky. It's all really, really tricky, but the outcomes are so good. So do you, I mean, we're still doing them, right? Like we, mm-hmm. unfortunately we had to take a break for COVID, but we are still doing them because we know they work, right? We get to see the evidence of families. I don't want to say getting better, you know, experiencing some healing, some calm, mm-hmm. you know, if you were to ask the families their goals ahead of time, I would say that many of those have been met along the way, as long as they're realistic goals. And so we know it works. What about, or would you share with us, did you have any like big aha moments over the years or exciting things that happened that you're willing to share with us? I know you've been doing camps for a long time, so I might be asking you to pull one thing out of a big pot of memories. So no pressure, but do you have any aha moments from the years?
Oh yeah, I have a lot. When you were talking, I was the thought about like the confidence in the caregivers is really what we see that changes. You know, I mean, it's one of the things that we see that changes is that they get confidence in their skills, and then they have more tools in their tool belt, and they know, you know, they feel competent in dealing with behaviors that they haven't in the past. Maybe they feel right. felt, you know, worn down. And so the parents gaining confidence or caregivers gaining confidence has really been a huge aha for me, and how that shifts the dynamics in the family. Another one is the intensity of camp and responding to every behavior. And just that, I mean, it's like when you're a parent and you have to be on constantly when you have teeny tinies, you know, and it's just exhausting. You are physically exhausted and you're mentally exhausted. And that is the intensity of camp. You know, that's why we have a 1-to-1 ratio, because we want all of those needs to be met. We want every behavior to be responded to. And then the last thing would be the biggest joy is seeing kids who feel safe to be themselves and to be able to just really kind of come out of their shell. And you kind of, you know, Karen used to call it the real girl or the real boy, but I see it as like, they're just like authentic. Mm-hmm. You see them like, it looks like they're genuinely having fun and connecting and making relationships with peers that may have been, you know, hard to do in the past. And so the confidence that they gain from being in a safe environment with people who can respond to their needs in a, you know, in a nice way, in a respectful way, is probably my greatest joy.
Oh, I just love it, because, you know, when you think about the whole big picture of camp, everybody comes out on the other side of camp a little bit different, right? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're the camp director or if you're the youngest kid who went through the process, the buddies are different, the families feel different. And I think about those families even applying, like the level of vulnerability required to do that, because, you know, I've said this before, you can encourage me to change a lot of things, but my parenting is something that I take so personally. And so the fact that you get to that place, and that was part of, you know, we know this, this is part of the wrestling with doing TBRI versus some old school parenting, but to do that under the microscope of camp would be so vulnerable. And it really, in my mind, lends to the idea that these people are really struggling and really hurting. And the fact that Casey, you and your team have put together such a really beautiful and intense way to help them be able to ask for that help and receive that help in such a respectful way is just something you can't compare. And I think that I was actually talking to a family that is on some of the old camp videos the other day, and they literally said, like, this saved my life. This saved my kid's life. And every camp experience isn't going to be that, but the fact that people can get in there and try and give to these families in such a way is just such a beautiful gift. So I'm thankful.
Can I share a story?
I'd love for you to share a story.
It's very quick. We have a student this year at TCU who's a first-year student whose family came to a family camp, and her sister were adopted. And ever since the family camp that she came to, she has wanted to be able to do this for her profession. And so she's here now studying at TCU, studying child development, and she's, you know, taking on a leadership role, and she's going to volunteer at camp this summer or this fall. And yeah, that's talk about like full circle moments. It's
unbelievable.
Like blows my mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. Full circle. And so then there it is. It just keeps spreading and it keeps going. And so, you know, to our listeners, we would encourage you to check the resources on our, website, and we'll link those in the show notes, and just give it a try, you know, create a really safe environment where we can meet kids' needs. And we just encourage you to give it a try. Casey, thank you for the years and years and years of giving that you've done, and for the last few minutes that you've shared that with us.
The TBRI podcast is produced by the Care and Purpose Institute of Child Development at TCU. To learn more about TBRI and the resources mentioned in this episode, please visit child.tcu.edu/podcast.